Everybody, yeah.
I wonder what you dream about. I don't mean those funny things that happen, you know, when we're asleep. Those strange, unconnected thoughts that happen. What do you dream of being? Maybe you're young and you dream about being a great footballer one day, or you dream about being a great singer, like Taylor Swift or somebody. Or like me, you would dream about being good at art. But you know, many of our dreams, well, we never really see them. And you know, some of you will maybe have been following the snooker at the minute, and the World Championship is on, and Ronnie O'Sullivan, who is almost certainly the greatest snooker player that's ever lived, if he wins the World Championship this time, he'll have won it more times than anybody else. But listen to what Ronnie O'Sullivan just said just this week about winning and so on. When I was younger, I wanted to be the best. As a kid, I would have been desperate to be up there with those guys. That's the great snooker players when he was a child. But when you get there, you see, it's a bit of an anticlimax, and it's not as great as you thought. By then, you're too far in. It's too late to go back and live it all again. You've got what you've got. One of the greatest sportsmen ever, and even at the pinnacle of his career, he realizes that it's an anticlimax. It's all very disappointing. Or take Taylor Swift. Now, I know I wouldn't come into Taylor Swift's fan mix, but she came up in the news recently. Until then, I didn't know who she was, but she came into the news item as being the first billionaire singer, the first singer-songwriter ever to earn a billion. And then those other articles came about her, and she cuts a sorry figure of somebody who's troubled relationships. And this is what she says in one of her songs. Some of her songs are really nice, by the way. I've only just got to listen to them in the last. But some of her songs are really quite sad, reflecting her difficulty with relationships. This is one called The Archer. I've been the archer, I've been the prey. I hate my reflection for years and years. I wake in the night, I pace like a ghost. The room is on fire, invisible smoke. All of my heroes die on the phone. Help me hold on to you. Reflecting her inability to get to find happiness in life, despite being probably, arguably, one of the greatest singer-songwriters that's ever. Certainly her wealth reflects that. But you know, lost my notes. None of us will rise to the heights of Ronnie O'Sullivan, almost certainly, or a Taylor Swift. But you know, we all have dreams, and what this reflects is that, you know, many of the things in life that promise to give us happiness and promise to bring joy and satisfaction are often an illusion. Even the things that we're told to eat, or we're told to wear, and the advertisements that say try this or go there, many of them end up bringing disappointment and unhappiness. I want to talk in the next short time about what I believe will bring true, deep down happiness. I don't mean that superficial kind of happiness, you know, that lasts for a little while and, you know, we try something and it brings some kind of pleasure, but it doesn't last. And our four verses today, well, we're starting with these four verses, but I have one other passage I want to read. The four verses are in Luke chapter 21. They're on the screen, I think, yes. Just four verses. And I'll read them now. One day as Jesus, Luke 21, verses 1 to For as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow come with two very small copper coins, which she put into the offering. I truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she has put in, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. So there it is, four verses just. What's the message? Well, we could say simply it's, you know, we need to give enough. We need to give, as we've just done, we need to give out of our wealth. We need to give an offering. But wait a minute. There's one small problem with that. She gave all. Did you notice that? She gave everything. Is this telling us that we should give all? Well, possibly not telling us to give all of our money, but what is it telling us? Well, before I answer that, I want to read another passage. You'll forgive me for reading another one, but it's a passage. We're going on our boat trip next week, men, and I'm looking forward to it very much. And I want to read from Luke chapter 5 about a fishing trip that the Lord went on with one of his disciples. Luke chapter 5, it's on the screen, I think. And it's a favorite passage of mine. In fact, I quoted it in my wedding speech many, many years ago. But this is another example of somebody who gave all. So we're going to think about Peter giving all and this woman giving all. Did they really give all of their wealth? Or let's find out. One day as Jesus was standing in the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. This is Luke chapter 5, verses 1. And verse 2 says, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, and the one belonged to Simon, that's Peter, as he was later called, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep waters and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that the nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Hopefully that'll be our story next week, men. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled up their boats on the shore, and they left everything and followed him. They gave all up everything, all of it, to follow Jesus. I love this story. In fact, both of these stories, I've linked them together because they're both examples of people who gave all. Is that what we should do? Give all of our money? Or as Peter did, give up all his business, his fishing business, give it all up and follow the Lord Jesus? Is that what we should do? Well, let's think about it a little bit longer, because I think there's a lot in this story, and I'm going to spend the next couple of minutes just talking about this story of Peter. I love it because, you know, the Lord Jesus didn't come to Peter and say, first of all, you're a sinner, Peter. You need to be saved. Though sometimes he did say that to people, but more to the religious people who were, as David told us last week, who needed to repent. They were sinful. But here's Peter, he's just an ordinary fisherman. And he didn't come to him and first of all say, Peter, you're a sinner. But he came and said, can I borrow your boat? I love that because it's a wee bit like the story of the Samaritan woman where the Lord Jesus just asked for her for a glass of water. He came and he said to Peter, can I borrow your boat? And Peter said, that's fine. And he put out from the shore a little bit and Jesus started to preach to the crowd because there was such a great crowd. They were pushing and he got onto the boat and started to preach to the crowd. And Peter no doubt was, well, I'm sure he was there. He was probably in the boat even. Probably anchored it down. And whatever the Lord Jesus said that day had a transforming effect on Peter. Because when the Lord Jesus said, now I want you, after he'd finished his sermon, I want you to push out into the deep waters and put your nets down for a catch of fish. Well, Peter said, Lord, we've toiled all night long and caught nothing. There's no point. And then he said something which was to change his life completely. But because you say so, I will do it. And he took that first tiny baby step, you might say, of faith. And he said, I'll do it. You know, even though it seems pointless, I'll do it. And it had a transforming effect on him because he had a great, huge catch of fish, so much so that he had to call on his friends to come and help him. What is this story telling us? Is it telling us that if we hand our lives over to the Lord Jesus, he'll make our business grow, whether it's fishing or whatever it is, it'll expand? Is he telling us that, you know, if you give your life to him, things will be wonderful overnight? Well, not necessarily. In fact, Peter left it all. He left his whole business to follow Jesus. No, this is telling us that we need to take that first step of trusting him. And you know what will happen when you take that first step? Well, something will happen when you start to, as Peter did that day, listen to God's word and read it and then put your trust in him, taking your first step of faith. Something will happen which isn't necessarily comfortable. Peter said, I am a sinful man. He realized on that short journey that he was in the boat with none other than God's Son. And it transformed his life. But it meant him realizing that he was a sinner too. And that'll be your experience if you haven't already taken that step of faith, first step of faith. You'll find that God will bless you, not necessarily bless you financially and give you wealth and all those things, but he will bless you as he blessed Peter, but he will also make us aware of how sinful we are. But he's an answer to that. He's an answer to the sin in our lives. As Pamela was telling us, the answer is that he can take away that sin and that guilt. Will you follow him this morning? I am pleased to say I have not seen the Barbie movie. Who's seen the Barbie movie? Yes. Well, I haven't seen it. My children recommend it. They say that you should see it. It has an important message. It's about this Barbie who lives in this perfect world. I only read about it to grasp what the film was about. She lives in this perfect world and she decides to go to the real world, to leave Barbie land. But she finds that the real world is not what it was made out to be. And there was pain and there's pain and there's problems and relationships aren't quite perfect. Her owner, who owned Barbie, says, put too many demands on people. The movie has an important lesson. I haven't listened, I haven't seen it, but what I did enjoy was there's a very hauntingly sorrowful song at the end of this movie. And I'm going to read it to you because it says something to us, I think. This is at the end of the movie. This is Barbie singing this song. I used to float. Now I just fall down. I used to know, but I'm not sure now what I was made for. What I was made for. Taking a drive, I was an ideal. Looked so alive, turned out I'm not real. Just something you paid for. What was I made for? I don't know how to feel, but someday I might, someday I might. And the song ends like this. Think I forgot how to be happy. Something I'm not, but something I can be. Something I wait for. Something I'm made for. Something I'm made for. Sad end as she realizes it's not all as good as it was meant to be. What were you made for? In our study last Tuesday, you know, we read from Revelation 4, where we heard the message of what we were made for. We were made to do God's will. You will only find true happiness in doing His will, you know, in following Him. That's not following Him like a robot, but just giving your life to Him completely. As the two people in our Bible passages did. The widow gave all of her life. All of her savings. That's not telling us to give up all of our money. That's telling us we give all of our lives to Him. Hand it over. And then you will know what you were made for truly. Or Peter gave up his whole business to follow the Lord. He handed his life over willingly and followed the Lord Jesus, realizing that he was a sinner. What were you made for? Were we made just to satisfy our own desires and ambitions and pleasures? Well, not really, because those are often empty. And as I said at the start, with these great sportsmen and singers, it often doesn't bring happiness. I'm going to finish by reading from Isaiah. This lovely passage in Isaiah 55. This is God talking. Come all who are thirsty, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread? And your labor on what does not satisfy. Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, that you may live. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. But here is the important part of this. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy. He will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. That's the God we love. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to give all, like the widow, all of our lives to him. Like Peter, give up all his business. In coming close to him, you'll discover that you're a sinner, because the closer you come to the light, the more it exposes you. But he wants to satisfy our hunger for a better life, for a life free from guilt and sin. Will you come to him this morning? Let's pray.